Let's turn to Genesis chapter 26. Ready? Genesis 26. Now, there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I will tell you. And sojourn in this land, I will be with you and bless you. For to you and all your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. And I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac lived in Gerar. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he was afraid to say, "My wife," thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. And it came about, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife Rebekah. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I said, lest I die on account of her." And Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and great household, and so that the Philistines envied him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped by, filling them up with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are too powerful for us." And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the same names which his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it too, so they named it Sitnah. And he moved away from there and dug another well. They did not quarrel over it, so he named it Rehoboth. For he said, "At last the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar and his advisor Ahuzath and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" And they said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. And they will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." And he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. And in the morning they arose early and exchanged oaths. Then Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now it came about on the same day that Isaac's servants came in and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. And when Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they brought great grief to Isaac and Rebecca. Amen. This is a really interesting passage because if we've been following along, there are so many similarities between Isaac and Abraham. In fact, it's uncanny how similar they are, even to the point of it's the same figures. It's Abimelech, it's Phicol. They do the same thing. They go to Abraham a couple of chapters before, and they say, "Hey, we can tell that you are a blessed man. I mean, there's something on you." And so they do the same thing. So let's make an oath between us. And it's amazing how these similarities go. In this chapter, we also find that Isaac follows along in the sin of his father, in the sense that they go to a new land, and sure enough, his wife, another wife, is very beautiful, and he's afraid for his life. So he says, hey, you know, you've got to be my sister, okay? You know, don't be my wife, so that, because I'm afraid of these people and what will happen to them. And we see these episodes, the exact same thing that happened with Abraham is now happening with Isaac. And so I want to talk about something just a little bit. Twofold, okay? The flip side of this thing, that there is, in one sense, as parents, as leaders and whatnot, what we do today, how we live our life right now, doesn't just affect the now, but it also affects later on as well. It affects another generation and even generations to come, we can talk about. And again, there's a flip side of this because it's good and bad. One side is if we do well and we obey the Lord and all that good stuff, there is a generational blessing that flows to our children's children's children. You know, I mean, it just goes on. Remember, when we read the Bible, one thing that you have to be very clear of is the way God does things. The Bible tells us that he is not a God of confusion, but a God of order. And so there is a real order and, I mean, systematic even a way of how God operates on earth. And he set these rules up himself. So it wasn't like these rules were imposed upon him. God sought in his own wisdom to set up these rules or these laws, we can call it nature, and we know those things, right? Like you can't jump off a 20-story building because you can't fly. That's a law of gravity. So there's natural laws, but there's also spiritual laws at work. One of those aspects is this idea that God, and when you go through the scriptures, you'll notice, we're getting to the beginning of this, and whenever God identifies himself, what does he say? He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not just the God of one generation. He is a God of three generations. And it's actually more than three, but it's basically, grandfather, father, son. You can put females in there as well, okay? So I'm not trying to be sexist or anything like that. But it's always three generations. God operates generationally. God operates relationally. He operates generationally. I'll do a whole message, a whole series on this in a few months, okay? So just a little tidbit here. And so what happens is because God is generational, what we do in our life has an effect generationally. We see here when we talk about the Lord comes and the Lord appears to him. This is verse 2. And he says, don't go to Egypt. Okay, in other words, stay in the land of the Philistines. I'm going to bless you. So that's a huge step of faith. Because in this time, whenever there was famine, they always went to Egypt. I mean, all throughout the Old Testament, famine, go to Egypt. It's one of the things that these guys did because there was a lot more grain and a lot more things happening there. You know, the land was more plush and all these things. And so he says, so he goes, look, trust me, Isaac, because I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your descendants. I'll give you all these lands and the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. And he says in verse 4, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. I will give your descendants of the nations of the earth shall be blessed. This is the Abrahamic covenant. So he's relaying and he's saying, this is not just between me and your father. This is God saying, this is between me and you. But it's on account of your father. Verse 5, because Abraham obeyed me, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So, this is the good part. We, by righteously living, by obeying God's commandments, by being a blessing, we have the incredible privilege of our kids, 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 that we've passed that generational blessing onto them. And I would call this generational transfer. We're able to, all the great things that God is doing. And so, you know, think about this in this context, okay? It's not much that you woke up early this morning and came out. It's something, okay? It's pretty cool. But it's not much. It's a little thing. But you know what? These simple acts of obedience, not just are a blessing to you now, but they flow to generations. Okay? I'll give you semi illustration. So, Pastor Nate, I know he just got married, he's sitting in the back there, don't look, okay? So Nate, when I first met P. Nate, he was just Nate at that time, and he was a teacher, And he was teaching at a Canadian International School, seemed to enjoy that life, you know, just finished his DTS in Switzerland, came back, joined our church. And, you know, we would talk, and I was discipling him. And he told me, one out of the blue, he told me that his mother's and father's line are like 3-4 generation of pastors. And I just remember that. And he says, really? I mean, both lines, right? There's like great-grandfather. Well, your mom is further along, right? Or is it the same? It's the same, right? So, I mean, he is fourth generation pastor. And so when he told me that, and he said, not that there is anything about being a pastor, okay? And so, you know, I mean, just being godly is good enough, right? So don't put anything on positions and titles and whatnot. But when he told me that, I immediately knew you're going to be a pastor too. It was just one of these things, and I didn't tell him. I just kept that in my heart. But I knew, and then so we said, okay, let's just start slow. Okay, why don't you come and why don't you just help out at church, and you can keep your job, you know, your day job, help out at church, and let's pray together. And so I was meeting with him one on one. I was discipling him, and I had a very specific plan. You know, he was going to be one of the pastors at Solomon's Porch. I just knew it because there was so much generational transfer. Can you, I mean, if you think in Pastor Nate's parents' context, so there are pastors in Korea. That means there were pastors during the Japanese occupation of Korea. That means that Nate's parents, his grandparents, were actually rebels. They were patriots. They fought against the Japanese, probably living in the mountains. This is kind of Korean history and whatnot. I mean, just incredible men and women of courage during this time. And I thought, man, that's in Nate's genes. You know what I mean? Like, I got to get him in our staff. You know, and so hopefully some osmosis happens and, you know, he infiltrates, you know, his anointing infiltrates our staff and our church in that way. And so this is transfer. How his parents, his grandparents, how they lived their life just flows through him. You know, I mean, it's just really one of those amazing things that happens in our life. The way that we live our life today just doesn't affect us today or tomorrow. It affects us generationally. There's something that happens. There's something so powerful about righteousness. You know, and I mean, and it really should inspire us, you know, to live great lives before God. Now, I got to give you the flip side too. There's also something called a generational curse. The way that we live our life not in obedience, the way that we live our life not walking after the Lord, also there's a transfer that takes place. And this transfer is not a good transfer. This one is full of death. I mean, if we look in our, just around us, I mean, you'll just notice people that struggle with alcoholism probably had a dad that struggled with alcoholism, probably had an uncle that struggled with alcoholism, you know, and just goes on and on and on and on. We find people that have very strong addictions. They're not, in our context, they're not first generation addicts. Generally, you find that it was their grandfather, their uncle, I mean, just going down 5-6 generations, and that just kind of carried through. This also happens with people with illness in some way. There is a generational curse that, you know, for whatever reason, I met this family, was it last summer or something, and we're talking, and he was really nervous because he was turning 50. His dad died when he was 50. His uncle died when he was 50. His grandfather died in his early 50s. All of the same thing, of a form of cancer. You know, and he was kind of wigging out and whatnot. I mean, we prayed for him and all these things. But we can see that there's negative aspects of this generational transfer that also takes place. And we're seeing, in really, in this chapter of Isaac, we're seeing the good and the bad, right? We're seeing, you know, God says, you are blessed. I'm going to make your descendants great. You're going to be a great nation. And that's as because of Abraham. And we see that transfer takes place. And then the next thing you know, what does Isaac do? Isaac does the same thing that his dad does. He lies about his wife and being his sister. And so we see now he's following in the sins of his father in the same way. It's kind of crazy when you see this. So you're seeing the good and the bad. That's kind of inlaid. And really, in all honesty, every single one of us, we are also the byproducts of the good and the bad of our parents. Now, obviously, all this can be redeemed. You know, I mean, that's something, there's something quite valuable about inner healing and deliverance, of cutting off generational bondages and generational ties, and really going before the Lord and being cleansed and you know, and all kinds of wonderful things you know that can happen as we pray to the Lord. There could be tendencies and you say in a simple word, certain proclivities that you have towards certain behavior that, I mean, you have to own it, but that could be very strongly influenced by these ties that takes place. You know, if you, and this is a key, if you find yourself exhibiting a certain kind of behavior, and you don't want it or whatnot, but you seem to gravitate towards different things or whatnot, there could be, you know, a sense that maybe God wants to do some healing in your life. I'll give you one quick example. Years ago, before I met my wife Lisa, you know, I dated a few girls, not too many, but just a few girls, and this is when I was a pastor. And so you know, I became a minister in my first position was in 1993. So I got married in 2002, and so there's a bit of gap there. So I'm in ministry, you know, about 10 years during this time, 9 years. And so I dated a few people, and one of my mentors came to me, and he was praying for me. He says, you know, I noticed something about you, and I said, please tell me. And he says, I noticed that you date very dark women. You know, not dark-skinned, okay? So we're not talking about that, but, like, they're kind of dark inside. And I don't want to get so much detail. And so the point what he was making is basically saying, Sam, I think you have an issue. And you know what it was? I had a Messiah complex. I really did. I gravitated toward troubled women. You know, but godly, I mean, really love God, but there was something a little dark inside of them, you know, and so I naturally gravitated towards them because I had an issue. I had a Messiah complex. I wanted to fix them. And so you can see how, like, one brokenness and my brokenness and, you know, it creates a really bad relationship, you know, in this way. And so I actually entered into a season where I pursued some healing and some counseling. And, you know, I wanted to not fix myself, but I wanted the Holy Spirit to heal me, you know, of these issues that I had in my heart. But if you find yourself, I say all that, if you find yourself gravitating towards something, you know, or you're just kind of strangely drawn in some areas to certain types of people or whatnot, it could be God maybe wanting to do a work in your life as he wanted to do a work in my life during this time. And it's amazing when I feel like I've really, you know, spent a lot of time with the Lord. It's like basically a 3-year journey during this time. A lot of healing, a lot of counseling, a lot of prayer ministry, a lot of deliverance, all these things. And then shortly after that time, I met Lisa. And it's pretty amazing how God's timing works out here. Okay? So, okay, let me focus before I lose my track. Okay. And so we see the good and the bad happening in this thing. And then the same people, Abimelech, comes and he says, man, you're too powerful for us. You got to leave. It was God bless him. You know how much God blessed him? He said, Isaac sowed, verse 12, Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Did you know that's impossible? I mean, that is humanly impossible to do, that crops would yield 100-fold. This is the work of God. This was God basically saying, you know, Isaac, I'm going to bless you, man. You know, when God said, like, told him, I'm going to bless you, probably Isaac did not even believe that. And now he's seeing the fruit of what this blessing is like. So they go. These guys say, you need to leave from us. You're too powerful for us. And so they departed. Now, the reason why this is really important is that Abimelech had a covenant with Abraham. And remember, they were going to live in peace with one another. And they were going to protect each other and all these things. Now, and so this is the heir of Abraham. And Abimelech is basically cutting the treaty apart. And the covenant that he made with Abraham is now gone. And so he leaves. So he's, okay, all right, I'm out of here. Takes off. And then you have the quarrel over the wells and whatnot. Let me just say something historically. Even to this day, Syrian farmers, they're only given a lease of 2 years. A lot of it is out of this, lest the landowners fear the prosperity of these farmers. I mean, this is still happening to this day, and it all comes down from this thing. And then you get this quarrel over the wells. You got to understand, water in this region is power. Water in this region is life. Water means everything. And so it was not uncommon for people to sabotage each other's wells. Either throughout history, they would throw carcasses, like rotted carcasses, in the water wells. They would fill up wells with, you know, dirt, and so it doesn't exist. I mean, they do all kinds of stuff, and this is quite common. It was also common for people to take a well, rename it their own name, and keep it for themselves and see, oh, so see, this is our language, this is our name. And that's precisely what happens. So Isaac goes and he goes back and digs up his father's wells, which is actually a really profound illustration. And in some ways, this idea of reboot is really what we're talking about, going back and digging up these wells, going back and digging up these things that how we see, blessing, going back and doing these things. And so it's kind of digging these wells that's happening here. So he goes there. He finally finds his place. The Lord comes and appears to him. And on that same day, Abimelech comes back, and he has a covenant that he wants to make now with Isaac. And so he brings his commander, which is a real, real greeting, you know, to come with his entourage. And 28, look what he says. They said, we plainly see that the Lord has been with you. So he said, let there now be an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. And they'll do no harm. And so the same exact thing that happens with Abraham now happens with Isaac. So they have this huge feast, and then they find water in that place. Again, the source of life. All this thing happens in one day. God appears to him. Right, then Abimelech comes, and then the well springs up water, and all these things happen. And then you have a little nod here to Esau. It's really interesting. We'll get more into Esau later on. But Esau, verse 34, was 40 years old. He married Judith, the daughter of Beri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. And they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. The literal translation there is they were a bitterness of spirit to them. And so there were bad news. Now, the reason why, you can see why Esau did not deserve that birthright. Esau had, he really didn't want anything to do with it. Part of that birthright, if you remember going back to chapter 24, Abraham told his sons, do not take for your wives Canaanite women. And if you look there, this is actually a really funny passage. If you look, 24, verse 1. Now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I'll make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live. Remember, we talked about it before. This is a holy handshake. And so when he says he put his hand under his thigh, in essence, he basically, as an oath, they grabbed each other's testicles. And it basically meant, you know, this is my promise. I trust you with my life, and I trust you with the life of my offspring. It was a huge thing to do during this time. So when I was in seminary, we used to call it a holy handshake. And so he does this thing. He says, promise me this. You will not take wives for my sons in this way. And what does Esau do? He takes two Hittite women, and they become a very, very difficult time for Isaac and Rebecca. And so Esau really wanted nothing to do with his father's commands or any of these things. So the Bible just gives a little nod to that. Okay, let's close our eyes. Sorry, I kind of ran off on a few tangents this morning. But let's think through that again, of generational transfer. Today, honestly speaking, in the way that you're living your life right now, either you have children or you don't have children, what kind of blessing or curse are they receiving from you? Are you transferring blessing or are you transferring difficulties? Now, it's not so black and white, okay? I'm making it black and white now, but it's not so black and white. Because we see Isaac experiences both the blessing and the curse. And this is really a charge to us. Let's pass along blessing. Let's pass along generational honor and obedience and love. This is one of the, you know, I mean, really, the most amazing things that God enables us to do is to have children. Physical children and spiritual children. What are you going to pass along? And I know many of you are single right now, and it may not be on your radar. No, it should be on your radar now, because this is where it's formed. When you're single, this is where the formation, your character formation, your obedience, all these things really come to place. And you are laying something down, a foundation, even now. Choose blessing. Choose life. And as we sing, let's go before the Lord and really meditate. Forever.
love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. Ooh, oh, ooh, oh, I believe your love is for me.
Pray this morning. I should say this though, just to follow up. You know, you shouldn't be down on yourself or anything like that if you feel like, you know, there's maybe a negative transfer taking place. You know, the crazy thing, there's the power of repentance. Right? When we repent to the Lord, it changes everything. You remember, He says, I separate as far as the east from the west. I bear into the deepest sea. I remember no more. You know, whatever it could be that, you know, we may did stuff or thought things, and then we feel like we're transferring this over to our kids. The power of repentance, when you repent and you're sorrowful in your heart, God totally removes that transgression from us. So I don't want to, you know, you to feel guilty this morning in any way. And so I just want you to really understand, you know, what God does through this whole process. And so let's pray. And more, maybe more as an encouragement or an inspiration, let's pray that you would transfer, the generational transfer to your kids and your kids' kids and all these things would just be full of blessing. And let's just pray that over our life and as we live our life before God. Let's pray together. Let's cover and pray for our friends that are battling cancer. A couple praise reports, or one. I had an email from Amy. I remember her sister Adam had a heart transplant surgery. She's almost fully recovered. She's actually going home on Sunday, which is, just a crazy miracle. Even the doctors, she said nurses, are just amazed at her recovery. All the tests came back. The heart is being received in her body well. And I mean, just absolutely amazing. All this happened like within 2 weeks. And so she's literally going home on Sunday. So praise God. And so let's continue to pray for that recovery. And just lift up the other people on this list as well. Some of them actually are doing much, much better. And so let's just continue to have faith and lift them up before God. Let's pray for our community that's ill but that needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for God to just reveal Himself through His Son Christ in their lives as well as heal their bodies. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing in their lives. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's incredible provision for them. Go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for the North Asia. Let's pray for North Korea. Pray for our friend Chris and his community working in the country. Let's pray that God will continue to do His work. Let's pray for Kenneth Bay, the American missionary YWAMer that's still in prison there. Let's pray for his release and just ask God's hand to be with them. Let's also pray for South Korea. Let's pray for our future church plant. All our friends are there, Eugene, Sujin, Haij, Eunsung, Janice, that are, they're meeting every month together. And let's also pray for Japan. Pray for Pastor Mitsunobu and our friends out in Kobe. And let's pray for Pastor Sophia as well as she prepares to go to Japan soon. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our ministries. Let's pray for IP, Well, and Cascade. Let's ask the Lord to bless our frontline ministers and really the volunteers. God would refresh and just really release more and more anointing over them. Let's pray for these three ministries. pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for their monthly prayer meetings and gatherings. And as they just make a plan for this year to encourage the men and women of our church, let's lift them up. Let's pray for Hong Kong Korean Church. And let's pray for Pastor Choi and pray that they will continue to grow and the church will be united and really seek after God's heart. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight, Soho and Harborside. And let's pray for God's hand to be with them and the Lord really move in their behalf. Also pray for SP Lights. They have their outreach tonight. Let's just pray for this incredible ministry opportunity tonight and protection. Lord, we just thank you, God, this morning for your word, God. Just a really incredible reminder, Lord, that what we do today, God, not just affects us now or even tomorrow, God, but it affects us generationally. And so we pray, God, that you would use us, Lord, and that we'd be people of honor, people of obedience, God, as we seek hard after you. Let that blessing flow to our kids, 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 God. We just thank you so much, Lord. Watch over us today as we seek your face in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you guys tomorrow.